All right. If you can make your way back to your seat, that'd be great. I'd appreciate it. Thank you. So as we were mentioning, I have a really quick announcement that I need to make, okay, because I totally biffed it and forgot. We have our, if you remember, I'm going to make this quick, but we have a big need. We are partnering with Urban Alliance to go once a month, the first Tuesday of every month. We're going to a local store down in the Edison neighborhood area to serve chili. And so it is a privilege. As you know, it's going to start getting colder outside again. And for some people, they tell us that for some people, this may be the only meal that they get on that day. And it is a privilege. We not only get to serve the chili, but we also make chili while we're there. There are two things that we need from you, okay? The first thing is this, the ingredients for the chili, all right? There's a lot that goes into it because we're making like about 15 or 20 gallons of chili, I think. And so we have a lot of ingredients, and all we need you to do is just pick one or two, and you can donate those and bring them to the church office. Second, this is, once again, our opportunity to invest in our community. We talk about going outside of these walls and making a difference in the 61%. This is one of the ways we do it, okay? And this is your opportunity to get involved. And so that first Tuesday of January is when we're serving. If you will just simply go to mylcc.church/serve, or I think you can go to mylcc.church and look for a serve icon on there, and you can click on that, and you can find where you can donate. You can bring in tomatoes, you can bring in cheese, you can bring in whatever for the chili, and you can find out what you can bring there, or you can sign up to serve, okay? So again, we need people to donate, we need people to be involved. This is your opportunity, okay? Because here's why, it makes a difference, it really does. This past Tuesday on Christmas Eve, we went out for our Christmas Eve serve, and we went all over Kalamazoo. My family and I had the opportunity of going to a 911 call center, which I've never done that before. It was really, really kind of cool. And we were going to the 911 call center, and you actually have to buzz in. They have to open a gate to let you in. And there was a guy that was walking out while we were coming in. He's all, "Are you guys bringing the food?" And we're like, "Yeah." And we brought, we brought a whole meal, turkey, stuffing, gravy, dessert, all of it. And he's like, "You guys are bringing the food?" And we're like, "Yeah." He's all, "Yeah, the lady in there, she's just been talking about that all day, right?" And so we get inside, and the lady comes. She's all, "I have been looking forward to this all day." And so we go in. She shows us where to set it down and everything. We set it down, and we just said, my family's just like, thank you for serving on Christmas Eve, doing stuff that, being in a place where people don't want to be on Christmas Eve. Thank you for serving us. It's an honor for us to get to bring you this meal," or something like that. And she's all, "Nobody ever says thank you to us." And it was like, dude, how cool is that? That we get to serve our community this way. And our goal this year, we just put in simple cards. It wasn't like accept Jesus or die or anything like that. They were just simple cards that just said, "Hey, thank you for serving. This is our opportunity to serve you," or something like that. And it just said, if you would like to know more, or if you have something we can be praying for, and there's a phone number on there. And it's really our opportunity to reach into our community with the love of Jesus Christ by doing something. By doing something. That's what Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 5. He said that the pagans will see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not calling these people pagans, okay? I'm just saying that they need Jesus. They need Jesus. Amen? I caught you off guard. They need Jesus. Amen? There you go. Okay, so here's the thing. We're going to jump into the message here. Do you remember where you were? Now, the older people here, you're going to remember. Some of you may have a fuzzy memory, and many of you over in this section won't have a memory at all. But do you remember where you were on December 31st, 1999? Do you remember where you were? Do you remember what was going on then? Okay, I remember where I was. We were in San Diego, California, in our house on Constancia in El Cajon, okay, waiting for the ball to drop in New York, which it had already done 3 hours before, okay? But do you remember, back it up a little bit, for those of you who can remember December 31st, 1999 at 11:59, do you remember the panic that was involved with December 31st, 1980. You remember what it was called? It was Y2K, right? Y2K or the Y2K bug or the millennium bug. And people were so scared. They were so fearful that it was the end of the world because we didn't know what was gonna happen when the clock clicked over to 12 o'clock straight up on January 1st, 2000. We didn't know what was gonna happen. Do you remember why? Because computers and the programs that were written for computers didn't take into account the change to a new millennium. And so people were literally freaking out about this. I mean, check it out. Best Buy puts on the turn off your computer before midnight or else the demon apocalypse is going to happen, right? Or whatever. I mean, it's just crazy. People were going nuts. It was so incredibly amazing that people were actually going into survival mode. Do you remember that? Those of you who are old enough, you remember? People were literally like getting water. They were like buying cases of water and canned goods, and survival websites went crazy with people like buying survival food that'll last for 20 years or whatever in case the zombie apocalypse comes, or, you know, and I mean, it was nuts. It was nuts, the amount of money that people were spending and developing rooms and hideaways and storing their food and their water and everything. It was crazy. We had just moved from, Sean and the girls and I had just moved from Holland, Michigan back to San Diego, California. And the pastor of the church where I was working was one of those people who I think he would probably say that he was just being prepared just in case something happened, and he got a lot of the staff on board where they were, you know, buying food, and they'd all go in on buying Y2K compliant food or whatever. And, you know, I didn't buy into it. I honestly didn't think anything bad was going to happen. Plus, Sean and I didn't have enough money to be Y2K compliant, so we just prayed to Jesus, okay? But, I mean, it was nuts. It was crazy what was going on. And then the Christian church and all of its beauty and creativity thought they'd get in on the scene. And so they developed a little placard for the lawn that says, Y2K, yield to the King, Jesus Christ. I always love when we do stuff like that. It makes us look so great. Anyway, okay, it was really crazy. You know what's amazing to me is to think this. That was 20 years ago. That was 20 years ago. I mean, that 20 years went by like that. Am I right? For those of you who are old enough, it's like a blink of the eyes, and we are on the precipice of 2020 right now. Where did that time go? I mean, it's absolutely crazy to me that all of those 20 years have flown by. And here we are. We're on the edge, not only of a new year, but we're on the edge of a new decade. Where did the 20 years go? So I want to ask you two questions. I want to ask you two questions, thinking about the last, not just the last year, but since 1999 to now, from December 31st of 1999 to now, the last 20 years. I want to ask you two questions. I'm going to ask you to do something for me. I want to just kind of get out all of the distractions. So I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes with me just for a second. Just close your eyes. And I want you just in your mind, I want you to think about the last 20 years. From 1999 to 2019, on the edge of a new decade, have you done and been everything you thought you would? From the turning of a new millennium, have you done and been everything you thought you would? And the second question is, looking back on that, those two decades, what would you do different? What would you do different over the last two decades? Okay, you can open your eyes now. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think. That's a little bit of a hard kind of experiment to do, to think of 20 years in like about 90 seconds and think, oh, what would I have done different, and taking into account all of the relationships and all of the jobs and all of the things that you've been involved in over the last 20 years, what would I do different? And for some of us, surely there were a number of things that just came to mind straight away, okay? But here's the thing, as we move forward from 1999 and we stand on the edge of not only a new year, but a new decade, 2020, there are a couple things that I think that we need to understand, looking backwards and looking forwards, okay? Because the thing is, you can't change the past. I know that some of us look backwards and go, oh, if only I would have done this, or only if I would have married him instead of him. If only I would have, you know, invested my money in that instead of that. If only, if only, if only. And can I let you in on something? You can't change the past. You can't change the past. The two things that you and I can do are, number one, learn from the past. Learn from the past. Those who don't learn from the past are condemned to repeat the past. So we learn from the past. We learn so that we can plan for the future. So that we can plan for the future. And I believe with all my heart that the coming year, 2020, and the coming decade, God has created you to do great things. That the coming year, God has created to be the best year of your life. The best year of your life. Okay? Now, I promise you're not going to win the lottery. I promise you're not going to get a personality change and become, you know, the most popular person at the party. But I promise you, if we will merely tap into who God is and how he's created you, I guarantee you 2020 will be the greatest year of your life. And if you continue to do that, then the 2020s will be the greatest decade of your life. Why? Because God loves you. God created you on purpose for a purpose. He did. And if you and I will live into that purpose, then we will change the world around us. I believe that. There's a famous saying in the Talmud. The Talmud is the rabbinical writings and understandings of the Jewish law. And one of those sayings from the Talmud is probably very familiar to a number of us who have seen the movie Schindler's List. It says, "He who saves a life saves the entire world." He who saves a life saves the entire world. I believe in Schindler's List, he said, "He who saves a life in time saves the world." But the truth is, every opportunity that we have to invest in the world around us, the opportunities that we have, as Jesus said, to do good deeds and thus reveal the God in heaven that we believe to the world who doesn't understand or know Jesus, is saving a life and saving the world. That's what we get to do. That's what we're doing when we're going out and serving chili. That's what we're doing on Christmas Eve when we're taking meals to police stations and fire stations and going to Bronson Hospital and Borges Hospital and when we meet downtown together. That's what we're doing when we serve, is we're just trying to help save a life, to make a difference in eternity. I love that quote. So what do we have to do? What do we do to make sure that the coming decade, and more so the coming year, is the best that we have ever had, the best that we could possibly have? What do we got to do? Well, I think we got to do what I talked about last week, what I talked about God did last week. If you were here last week, and we talked about Christmas, and we talked about Christmas maybe from a little bit different perspective than what we're all used to, but we talked about the fact that God began with the end in mind. God began with the end in mind. So often we treat Christmas and that baby in the manger as if it's the end-all be-all, as if it is the epic climax of the story of God. But nothing could be farther from the truth. For sure we need Christmas. For sure we need to have Christmas. God became flesh and dwelled among us. okay? Emmanuel, which Matthew tells us means God with us. We had to have that because Jesus had to be born to come to earth, but Jesus was born in order to die. See, 33 years later was when we begin to understand why Christmas mattered at all. That Jesus went to the cross on Calvary for you and for me. Why? Because God loves you. God loves you so much that he himself would bear your sin and shame upon his shoulders. And he would take your place on the cross. He would take your lashes, your beatings, your physical, mental, emotional, verbal abuse upon himself. Because he loves you. But even that wasn't the end. See, 3 days later is where the end begins. 3 days later is the climax of all of history. This is where God was pointing everything to. In the Old Testament, when time and time and again, over hundreds of thousands of years, when prophets were making prophecies about this Messiah and who he would be and where he would be born and what the circumstances would be, when he was doing that, that was just kind of code to help them get to Bethlehem. But Bethlehem wasn't the end. And then it went from Bethlehem to Calvary in Jerusalem, where Jesus died on the cross, and that wasn't the end. And then Jesus rose again. And my friends, all of history, everything that you and I believe in, hangs on that right there. Everything that you and I, if you are a disciple of Jesus, this is critical. That right there, Jesus dying on the cross, taking your place, bearing your burden, shedding his blood. The scripture says that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness for sins. There had to be blood, there had to be death, a life for a life, and Jesus took your place on the cross. He took my place on the cross. But my friends, it's worthless to worship a dead Savior. That's why everything hangs on this. Everything hangs on the empty tomb. I love what one pastor said. In fact, for those of you who know me, I put quotes up on my wall, quotes that I love, and this quote more than likely is going to go up on my wall. But I love this quote. Andy Stanley says, "If a man can predict his own death and resurrection and pull it off, I just go with whatever that man says." I love that. If some dude can predict his own death and resurrection and then pull it off, I'm doing whatever that guy says. Okay? And that's exactly what Jesus did. God began with the end in mind. The end wasn't Bethlehem and a manger and shepherds and wise men. The end wasn't the cross on which Jesus died. The end is the empty tomb, which is the beginning of life for you and me. And that was God's target all along. And so for you and me, if we are to take our example and look at 2020, the next year, or even the 2020s, the next decade, and begin to understand God's plan for you and me, then we have to take God's example and begin with the end in mind. We have to be willing to look down the line at December 31st, which I believe falls on a Thursday in 2020. And look at that day, December 31st, 2020, and say, what do I want my life to be like on that day? When I look in the mirror, what kind of person do I want to see? When I look in the mirror on December 31st, 2020. And you look at that and you begin to go backwards and you begin to plan and you begin to figure out what it's going to take for you to become the person that you want to be. The problem is that there are two things that creep in for us. There are two things that creep in for us. One of them is apathy. One of them is apathy. We get to the point where we just don't care. It's a lot of work, and I'm not sure it's making that big of a difference. Okay? And the second thing is worry. The second thing's worry. We worry about so much stuff. We worry about the economy. The economy is going great right now. You realize that, right? The economy's going great, but there are a number of us. And I'll just say that I fall into this group. There's a number of us who say, but it can't keep going forever. At some point, it's going to fall. And we worry about that. We worry about something we can't what? Control. Control. We worry about the economy. We worry about, you know, all of these different things in our lives that we can't control. We worry about them. We worry about the past. We hang on to the past. We won't let go of the past. And we worry about all of those things that happened in the past that we can't control any longer. And our past is controlling our future. And God's saying, let go of the past. Just let it go. I forgave you. And for some of you, this is the big point of the morning. You need to forgive yourself. You need to forgive yourself. For some of you, God has forgiven you, but you are holding on to things in the past. You're holding on to mistakes that you've made. You're holding on to decisions that have held you back to this point, and you can't let go of them. And it is like an anchor tied around your ankle, and it keeps you from moving forward into what God has created you for. Because I've said it 1,000 times, and I'll say it 1,000 times more. You were created on purpose for a purpose. 2020 can be the greatest year, not because you're going to make a ton of money. I hope you do, and I hope you tithe on it, but not because you're going to be the belle of the ball, not because you're going to get the perfect job, not because you're going to marry the perfect guy or the perfect girl. No. 2020 is going to be great for some of you because you let go of the garbage in your past, and you finally come to a place where you forgive yourself. Because guess what? God isn't holding on to it any longer. You are. And you got to get to a point where you just go, I'm done. I'm letting go of it. I'm not going to hold on to that anymore. Because God, do you realize that Scripture talks about you were created to live in freedom? The Apostle Paul wrote, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. That's why Jesus went to the cross for you. So you could be free. So you could be free from sin and shame and from your past. Because you were created on purpose, for a purpose. And in order to live into that purpose, you have to let go of the past. In order to live into that purpose, you got to quit worrying about the things that you can't control, and that's speaking to me right now. I got to quit worrying about the things that I can't control. I do my best, and that's all I can do. And then I just trust God. Right? Not that lazy person who sits around going, well, it's all in God's hands anyway. No, I do what I'm called to do. I live into the purpose, and then God's got to take the rest. It's called faith, okay? And Jesus gives us a powerful insight into how to deal with apathy and worry, and how he gives us the key to 2020 and beyond. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it's such a great verse. It just simply says this, but seek, what's the next word? Say it loud. Okay, but seek, say it louder, but seek, louder. Thank you, but seek first. Do you know what first means? It's kind of a dumb question, right? But some of us say the words, but don't live by them. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these other things that concern you, all of these other, the way that you and I make 2020 the best year that we have possibly ever had is by seeking God first. That I am deeply and passionately in love with the God who is deeply and passionately in love with me. That I do everything I can to know that God, to be in love with that God, to be about God. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's how you and I have the best year ever. It's not necessarily by putting more hours in at the office. It's not necessarily by dressing a different way. It's not necessary. It's by simply going after God the same way that God has gone after you. Vigorously and passionately. A couple weeks ago, we ended a series called Reading Between the Lines. And if you weren't here for that series, or maybe you missed a few weeks, I would highly encourage you to go and read that. It talks about, you know, reading the Bible in context. Reading the Bible in context. And for me, that is part of how I get to know God better, how I seek his kingdom, is to know God and know God's word and read it in context so I can know him better. For some of you, maybe that's what it is for you. You look at it and you're like, okay, I need to know God better. Maybe there's other things. So here's what you and I must do to make 2020 a better year. Things that you and I must do. You can write them down in your notes, or at the end you can just take a picture of them. But these are things I would challenge you to do that you must do in order to have 2020 be your best year. The first thing is you must make a determination that you're going to live differently. You have to make a mental decision. I will not stay the same way I am today. I am going to live differently. It's a decision that you and I make. Right? I am going to decide to follow God. I'm going to decide to make sure that I'm getting into His Word and understanding it contextually. You make a decision to live differently, okay? Now, the holidays have been very, very good to me. I need to lose about 30 pounds. 30 pounds, okay? I'm looking at it going, I need to live differently, and I'm going to, starting January 2nd, I am going to start living differently. Until January 2nd, I'm going to eat like the zombie apocalypse is coming, okay? And then I'm changing. But I look at it, I'm like, okay, if I want to do this, if I want to be in shape, if I want to do whatever, I need to do that. I have to choose differently. I have to choose to live differently. In order to know God, I have to choose to live differently. Maybe some of you, there's something that you want to do with your life, or maybe you feel like God's called you to make a change and move out of this sector of occupation to do something like this, and it's really kind of nerve-wracking. It's a decision, and you make that decision mentally. Okay, the second thing is you soak yourself in prayer. Soak yourself in prayer. I love that word, soak. Soak yourself in prayer, okay? Some of you can identify with this. On Christmas, we had an incredible meal, okay? And so most of the dishes go into the dishwasher, right? But some of them have that caked on stuff that because it got overbaked or whatever, and you get a hammer and chisel out, it's pretty tough. So what do? You get the Dawn dishwashing liquid, you squirt it in, and then you put it under hot water, right? And then what do? You let it soak. Right? Why? Why do you let it soak? Because over time, that hot water and that Dawn dishwashing liquid or whatever you use, okay, it begins to soften up what's on the inside until it comes off easily. And that's what we do when we soak ourselves in prayer. Our hearts become soft. The hard things that are holding us back, those anchors that are keeping us from doing what God has called us to do, begin to peel away and fall off, and our hearts are soft to do what God has called us to do. Soak yourself in prayer. You do realize that soaking is a time thing, right? Like you don't just put in the Dawn dishwashing liquid, put in hot water, then dump it out, and it actually all... No, you have to let it sit for a while. You have to let it sit and soak. And in our prayer lives, too many of us are content with 1 minute, 2 minute prayers rather than soaking ourselves in the presence of God, rather than soaking ourselves in prayer to know what 2020 means and looks like. The next thing is to write down how you're going to live differently and post it where you can see it. To write down how you're going to live differently and post it where you're gonna see it. For me, this is specifically me, okay? If I say something, there's a good chance that I'm gonna forget it, but if I write it down, it's a commitment to me. And then I put those things where I can see them because it's an accountability tool for me to write it down. And I'll forget what I'm committing myself to. So I write it down. I'd encourage you to do the same thing. And the last thing is this, that you would get a trusted friend to share the journey with you. That you would get a trusted friend to share the journey with you. That you would find somebody who will talk straight with you, who won't let you off the hook, who won't pat you on the back and go, well, try a little bit harder. Come on, we got to go. That they'll call you on the carpet when you're not doing what you said you should do. They'll call you on the carpet. That you get a trusted friend to walk this journey with you. And when you do this, I guarantee you that your life is going to make a difference. No matter how long, no matter how hard, your life will make a difference. And I want to close by just reading to you a story about a guy by the name of William Borden. Okay, that's him right there. Some of you may be familiar with the Borden name, Borden dairies, Borden milk, that kind of stuff, okay? So this is a story about William Borden, part of that family. On December 17th, 1912, Bill Borden boarded the ship for China via Egypt. His missionary career would be among history's briefest and most effective. I got this out of a book. I can't remember who the guy is who wrote it, and it's basically this day in Christian history. And so we go on. He was going to China via Egypt to begin his missionary career, which would be among history's briefest and most effective. Borden was born into an upper-class family on Chicago's Gold Coast, heir to a fortune in real estate and milk production. His mother became a Christian, and young Bill began attending Chicago's Moody Church with her son, soon becoming a Christian himself. Shortly afterward, when Pastor R.A. Torrey challenged worshipers to dedicate their lives to God's service, William quietly rose, a little fella in a blue sailor suit. He stood a long, long time while the service went on, but there was no wavering, and it was a consecration from which he never retreated. Later, at Yale University, Bill became well known as a star athlete, good-looking, worth $50 million, and committed to Christ. At a student missions conference in Nashville, he was deeply moved by Samuel Zwemer to reach the Muslims. And following graduation, he announced he was giving his immense inheritance to the cause of world missions. He joined the China Inland Mission, planned to evangelize the Muslims in China. But first came language study in Egypt. On the eve of his departure, his widowed mother wondered if Bill had done the right thing, giving up fortune and homeland. Quote, "In the quiet of my room that night, worn and weary and sad, I fell asleep asking myself again and again, is it after all worthwhile? In the morning as I awoke, a still small voice was speaking in my heart, answering, God so loved the world that he gave his only beloved son." Unquote. A month after arriving in Egypt, Borden contracted spinal meningitis. He was dead in 2 weeks. But he left a final message on paper stuffed under his pillow. No reserve, no retreat, no regrets. The story of his sacrifice was retold in newspapers across America, and the publication of his biography resulted in a dramatic leap in numbers of young people offering themselves as living sacrifices for the Lord of the harvest. That's what happens to a life that is dedicated to living with the end in mind. That's the difference of a life. And you guys heard the story. He never made it to China. He lived in Egypt for like a couple weeks and he died. And yet Bill Borden's life changed the course of history by numerous students giving their lives to the cause of sharing the message of God's love through Jesus Christ. No reserve, no retreats, no regrets. And that is how you and I have the greatest 2020 ever. That's how you and I make a difference with our lives, is when we live our lives with the end in mind, with no reserve, no retreat, and no regrets. Would you stand up with me? Michael and the team are gonna come up right now. And we're gonna close by singing one of my new favorite songs, Raise a Hallelujah. And it is very appropriate for this morning as we remember what God has done for you and for me, as we look at 1999 to the year 2019 and prepare for 2020 and beyond, that God has created you on purpose for a purpose, that God loves you so much that he gave his one and only son so that if you would just believe in him, you wouldn't die but have everlasting life, and you would live into that purpose that you were created for with no reserve, no retreat, and no regrets. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, to be in your sanctuary. God, we give you glory and honor and praise. And I pray for my brothers and sisters right now in the same way that I pray for myself, that this coming year, God, I would live this life with no reserve, that I would leave it on the field, that I would give everything that I have, that I would live with no retreat, God, that I'm not going to go backwards on my commitments, that I'm going to move forward into what you've called me and with no regrets, that I will not give in to sin or Satan or temptation, but I will bring glory to the name of Jesus. And God, you will make this the greatest year ever in the history of our lives and the history of this church for the name of Jesus Christ. And when that happens, God, we will raise a hallelujah. In fact, we're going to do that right now because we believe that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we love you with all our heart. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Storm louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise, death is defeated, the King is alive. Raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. Raise a hallelujah. In the middle of the mystery, I raise a hallelujah. Fear, you lost your hold on me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise, death is defeated, the King is alive.